Pull up a chair for a second. I want to tell you about a book that's older than most of the airplanes parked on the grass at Oshkosh this week, and it might still be the best flight instructor you'll ever have. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern, the show where we slow it down and actually learn to fly the airplane. Today we're talking stick and rudder. The real thing, not the buttons, not the boxes, not the magenta line. The wing, the air, and your two hands and two feet. And we're going to talk about the man who wrote the book on it, literally. The book is called Stick and Rudder. The man was Wolfgang Languisha. He wrote it in 1944. And I'm going to make the case today that if you're flying into AirVenture right now or dreaming about it from your living room, the ideas in that book matter more than almost anything on your panel. Let's walk through this together. Before we get into it, let me give a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private, pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you don't forget. That first time the wheels come up and the instructor's seat is empty beside you, go take a look. aviationsoul.com, okay? Wolfgang Languisha. He was a German immigrant who came to the United States and learned to fly in the 1930s, back when a lot of the flying knowledge floating around was, frankly, wrong. Pilots were being taught things that got them killed, and Languisha, who was a thoughtful guy, a writer by trade, looked at all this folklore and said, wait a minute, let's actually figure out what the airplane is doing and why. The result was a series of articles and then in 1944 the book. Stick and Rudder, An Explanation of the Art of Flying. It has never been out of print. Think about that, 80-some years. Jets have come and gone, glass cockpits arrived, satellite navigation, whole airplane parachutes, autoland. And that little book is still on the shelf at every pilot shop at Oshkosh this week, because the wing has not changed, the air has not changed, and you, the pilot, still have to fly the thing. So what did he actually teach? Let me give you the big one. The single idea that if it clicks for you, changes how you fly forever. Here it is. The airplane flies on angle of attack. Let me say that again because Languisha spent a whole book hammering it. The wing does not care how fast you're going in the way you think it does. The wing cares about the angle at which it meets the oncoming air. That's the angle of attack. The angle between the wing and the wind it's flying into. Here's why that matters, and here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. When you're a student, you get taught airspeed, airspeed, airspeed. And airspeed is a fine stand-in most of the time. But airspeed is a liar in one very specific situation, and that situation kills people. That situation is the turn from base to final when you're low and slow and you pull. Languisha understood, back in 1944, that the wing stalls at an angle, not at a number on the airspeed indicator. You can stall the wing at any airspeed and at any attitude, in any bank, if you pull hard enough to exceed that critical angle of attack. The airspeed indicator can read a perfectly comfortable number, and the wing can quit flying. That's the whole ball game. Now connect that to where we are this week. Right now, at Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, you have thousands of airplanes converging on one field. It is the busiest air traffic operation on the planet for 1 week every summer. Airplanes stacked up, flying the arrival down the railroad tracks, following the airplane in front, controllers calling out colors and asking you to land on a dot painted on the runway. And in an environment like that, what does a pilot do wrong? They fixate. They get slow. They get behind an airplane they don't want to overrun. They square up a pattern that's tighter than they're used to. They overshoot the center line because there's a crosswind, and then they do the deadly thing. They drop the nose a hair. They don't want to bank steeper because banking steep close to the ground feels scary, so instead they feed in bottom rudder to skid the nose around toward the runway. And Languisha is sitting there in 1944 telling you exactly what happens next. That skidding, uncoordinated cross-controlled turn raises the angle of attack on the inside wing. The wing stalls, one wing before the other. The airplane rolls hard toward the ground in the last place on Earth you have altitude to recover. That's the stall spin. That's the base to final accident. It has been killing pilots since before the book was written, and the book explains precisely why. So here's the practical takeaway. The thing you can carry into your next flight, whether you're headed to Oshkosh or just out to the practice area. Fly the airplane with your feet, honest, coordinated flight. The ball in the center. When you turn, you bank the airplane and you feed in just enough rudder to keep the nose tracking with the turn, no more. You do not steer the airplane around a corner with rudder like it's a car. The rudder is not a steering wheel. Languisha was blunt about this. The rudder's job is to keep the airplane coordinated, to keep the nose pointed where the airplane is actually going, to cancel out the yaw the ailerons create. That's it. And if you find yourself overshooting final at Oshkosh or anywhere, the answer is not bottom rudder. The answer is go around full power. Fly away, come back and do it again. There is no prize for salvaging a bad approach. The examiner on your check ride is looking for exactly this judgment. The airman certification standards spell it out on the go-around task. The examiner wants to see that you make a timely decision, that you don't try to force a landing that isn't there. And in the traffic pattern tasks, coordination is right there in black and white. They want the airplane flown in balanced flight, the ball centered, because the ACS was written by people who read the same accident reports Languishi was reading. Let me give you a second idea from the book, because this one's more fun and it'll make you a better stick immediately. Languishi talked about the rudder in a way that a lot of students never really get. He said, in a turn, watch the nose. Watch where the nose goes across the horizon. When you roll into a turn with aileron alone, the nose actually swings the wrong way first, toward the outside of the turn, before it comes back. That's adverse yaw. The wing that's coming up is making more drag, and it drags the nose backward. Your rudder cancels that. And the way you learn the feel of it is an old exercise, and I want you to try it. Languish described it, and instructors have been teaching it forever. Go up to a safe altitude, pick a point on the horizon, and rock the wings back and forth, left and right, and try to keep the nose absolutely nailed on that point. Left aileron, right aileron, rolling maybe 20 or 30 degrees each way, and your feet dancing on the rudder to keep that nose from wandering. When you can roll the airplane and the nose doesn't move, your feet have woken up. That's coordination you can feel. That's the exercise that turns rudder from a mystery into a tool. We call it Dutch rolls or coordination rolls, and here's the honest truth. Most of us stop practicing it the day we pass the check ride. Don't. Go do it. It is free. It takes 10 minutes, and it will make every landing you fly for the rest of your life a little bit smoother, because your feet will finally be part of the team. Now, I want to be straight with you about something, because that's the deal on this show. Learning to fly is hard, it is expensive, it costs more than it should, and it takes longer than the brochure says, and there are days you drive home from the airport wondering if you're ever going to get it. If that's you right now, I want you to hear this. The reason it's hard is that you're learning to feel something you cannot see. The angle of attack is invisible. The air is invisible. You are learning to sense the wing through the seat of your pants, through the sound of the wind, through the feel of the controls going soft in your hands as the airplane slows. That is a genuinely difficult skill. It is not easy. Anybody who tells you it's easy is selling something. But here's the good news, and this is why Languish still matters. Once you understand what the wing is actually doing, the feeling has a home. The mystery becomes physics. When the controls go mushy and the airplane starts to feel like it's wallowing, you don't panic, because you know. That's the wing telling me I'm near the angle. Ease the back pressure. Let the nose down a hair. Trade a little of that precious attitude for airspeed, and the wing comes right back to life. The airplane is always talking to you. Stick and rudder taught a whole generation of pilots to listen. And this is the part I love about walking the grounds at AirVenture. You can stand at the fence at the approach end and just watch. Watch 100 airplanes land in an afternoon. Watch the ones who fly a stable, coordinated approach and grease it onto the dot. And watch the ones who get fast or get slow or float halfway down the runway and have to go around. You will learn more about stick and rudder flying in one afternoon at that fence than in a month of reading. Every one of those airplanes is a physics lesson landing right in front of you. If you're a student pilot and you can get to Oshkosh, go stand at the fence. Bring the book. Read a chapter. Then look up and watch it happen in real airplanes. Let me bring it home with the takeaways. 1. The wing flies on angle of attack, not on the number in the airspeed window. You can stall at any speed. Respect that in every low, slow, tight turn you ever make. 2. Keep your feet honest. Coordinated flight, the ball in the center. The rudder keeps the nose tracking. It does not steer you around a corner. Cross control near the ground and the airplane will bite. 3. When the approach goes bad, go around, every time. The ACS rewards that decision, and so does a long life in aviation. And 4. Go practice your coordination, rock the wings, hold the nose still, wake your feet up. It's the cheapest, most valuable 10 minutes you'll fly all month. My thanks today to Wolfgang Languishe, whose book Stick and Rudder has been teaching the wing to pilots since 1944, and to the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, whose airman certification standards still carry his lessons forward in plain language. You can find more from the show at radiohanger.com. If you're at Oshkosh this week, go find that fence and watch the wing do its work. It's the oldest lesson we've got, and it's still the one that keeps you alive. Fly coordinated. I'll see you in the pattern.